And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Now that's my lesson for today, and I pray that God will bless the reading of his word, that it would be for our good and for his honor and glory. I want to talk to you this morning for a little while, and I want to use as my subject title, This Glorious Church. This glorious church. I got up early this morning to study and to read and try to prepare for this hour. I've been in revival all week, been preaching, and so I was kind of tired, and I just had trouble, concentrating and focusing on anything, so I went to bed last night. And I got up early this morning to try to study. I hadn't much more than got out of bed until this song run across my mind. I can't think of the writer of the song right now. But he wrote the song, and it says, I'm in this church, this glorious church. I did not join. No, I was born. I had a new birth. Some glorious day, I'm going to sail away. Not by my works, but by his grace, I'm in this church. And so I want to talk to you today for a few minutes about this glorious church. Of course, I'm talking about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus established his church while he was here in the world. And he commissioned the church to take the gospel into all the world. In fact, to teach all nations. I'm so glad and thankful that the church has been obedient to that command that Jesus gave. You know, the church of the Lord Jesus and the glorious gospel. Excuse me. And we do have a couple of verses of scripture that refers to the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 1 and 16, Paul talks about the glorious gospel of Christ. And in the book of Timothy, Paul wrote to Titus, and he speaks about the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus. And so the gospel, you know, is the good news and the glad tidings of that God has provided salvation for the human family. And that salvation is through the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that there's none other name given under heaven or among men whereby we must be saved. And so that glorious name and that glorious gospel that has gone out from this glorious church today. And then we think about our own congregation. We are nearly 100 years old here in the city of Bowling Green. And I think of the Fairview Memorial Baptist Church as being a glorious church. It has maintained the faith and it's held forth the gospel for all of these years. And we're still doing the same today. And I wonder this morning as I think of this subject, what's your thought concerning the church of the Lord Jesus and this church? Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church. How do you look at the church and the work of the church? And so I want to just remind us of some things this morning. Now, my tenure here is just about come to an end. I would like for this church, you know, as someone else comes to take over the leadership of the church in the very near future. And as yet, I don't know who it'll be. I don't know if any of you know who it'll be. But God knows who it'll be. But I'd like to, for this church, you know, to welcome whoever comes here, you know, with some excitement and some enthusiasm, you know. We have a lot to be thankful for. And not only do we have a lot to be thankful for, but we have a great responsibility that's resting upon us. You know, the church is not here just because, you know, somebody built a building. The church is here because the people of God, they have stood, as Jude said, you know, in the book of Jude, he said, I was going to write to you about the common salvation. And that's a good subject. But he said, I felt like it was needful to remind you, you know, to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. You know, the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. That's what the Bible said. And Paul said he had written the things that he wrote in the third chapter of 1 Timothy, you know, that they might know how to behave themselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. And if we don't hold up the truth of God's word, and if we don't stand fast, you know, and if we don't strive and work together, for the good of the cause, the church is going to suffer. And so we don't want that to happen. We want the church to always be a glorious church. I'm talking about this congregation. The church is going to be a glorious church. But this congregation in this community, we need to be, you know, a glorious church. Now, having said those things, I want to just think with you for just a little while about some things. And I'm not going to try to preach at length, but I do want to say some things. Our church covenant, I guess you might call it an official document, because the church adopted this covenant as an agreement between the members of the church. And we have an obligation to fulfill our part of that agreement. In the four of the paragraphs in that covenant, they start out with, we engage. I want to ask you, how engaged do you feel this morning with this church? How engaged are you with what's going on at this church, you know? With our congregation, we need to be engaged. The church is not just here for a convenience, you know. The church is a work station. It's a place for us to work and labor in the vineyard of the Lord. And as Jesus said in his word, we need to take up the cross and we need to follow the Lord. Now, I know that we've just gone through the pandemic. I know that, and we've lost, you know, a lot of our people. You know, they didn't feel comfortable coming to church, and that's all right. And that's why we have the Facebook. You know, that's why we preach to the parking lot, the people in the parking lot. I enjoyed doing that. I enjoyed standing out here on the stoop of the back door preaching the gospel. In fact, I enjoy preaching the gospel. It's the joy of my life. But anyway, this pandemic thing, you know, and people have been afraid, you know, to get in big congregations. I want us to just consider if there's any place where we need to be engaged, it's right here at this church. We need to be active. We need to be proactive, you know. We need to be working, and we need to be laboring, and we need to be supporting the truth, because the truth is the only thing that'll set you free. And Jesus said that. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And again, Paul said to the church, or to the young preacher Timothy, he said, the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. The church is what holds the truth up. The church is what, keeps the truth from being watered down. We stand for the truth of God's word, and we hold up the truth. And so I just want to engage you if I can. I'd like for on the first day the new pastor comes to this church, I'd like for every pew in this building to be filled. I'd like for you to have faith, and I'd like for you to have expectation of that God is going to work in our midst, and God is going to save souls, and God is going to make this a lighthouse. That's what the Bible said the church is supposed to be. Ye are the light of the world. The light of the world, he said. You're like a city that's set on a hill that cannot be hid. He said, let your light shine, that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You see, that's the purpose of us coming to church. Now, the Bible says this, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. And I want to ask you, don't be afraid to come to church. We're not afraid to go to Kroger, and we're not afraid to go to Walmart, and we're not afraid to go to the sporting events and things like that. We oughtn't to kid ourselves. We ought not to be afraid to go to church. Because church is where God has promised that He will meet with us, and He will bless us, and He will hear our prayers, and He will save our people. And so we need to get engaged in the work of the church. Now, having said that, I want to go on just a little bit further. He said, we engage by the aid of the Holy Spirit to walk together in Christian love. The church of the living God should be a place where brotherly love and Christian affection is in abundance. We love each other. We love each other. If you are a child of God, you have to love people. You know what the Bible said? The Bible says this. I said, if a man says that he loves God and he hateth his brother, he's a liar. If we don't love each other, there's something wrong. And I'm not saying we don't. I think we do. But I am trying to get you engaged. That's what I'm trying to do, is get our congregation engaged and working. When Sunday rolls around, it's time to go to church. When Sunday comes around, it's time to go to Sunday school. When midweek service comes around, it's time to support it, you know. That's where we can grow and study God's Word, and we can be brought closer together through the Word of God. And so we should come to church, and we support the work of the church in every aspect of it. Now, I started to say love. The Bible says this. It says that, my thought left me. But the Bible talks about love. It says that it is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. You can't be a Christian and not have the love of God in your heart. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And he also said that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. We should love one another. We should support one another. We should help one another. And we should try to see that our church, you know, is the light of the world, as I said a few moments ago. It says that we're to strive for the advancement of the church. Make an effort, you know, put forth an effort to make the church go forward, to be of benefit and be of help to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I really do believe, you know, I know you can be saved and be at home. I know that. I know you can. But I tell you, we're supposed to be instrumental in helping other people get saved, you know. Well, you say we can do that at home too. I know we can pray, and I believe you do, you know. But I tell you what, we need to work in the church and through the church. The church is the arm of the Lord. The church is the body of Christ, you see. It's the body of Christ. And the church, my friend, will accomplish what God wants it to accomplish. And we have to work with the church and for the church. Now, he says we will engage our family, you know, even. And our family is important. You know, Satan would like to steal our families away from us. We bring children into the world, you know. It's our responsibility to train them up in the way they should go. Teach them give them the example to follow, you know. Example is a good teacher. It's better than just telling them, you know. You can tell people what they ought to do, but if you set the example, it'll have a lot more influence than just by the word of mouth, you see. But anyway, our family is important to us. None of us want our people to die without God and go to hell, do we? We want them to be saved. If they're going to get saved, they need to be exposed to the gospel, to the word of God. They need to be where they can hear it, you know. So the Holy Spirit will work on their hearts. Not very many people ever got saved without being exposed to the gospel. In fact, I don't think anybody ever got saved without being exposed to it, tell you the truth. Because the Bible said the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. It's the power, you see. We need to watch over one another in brotherly love and Christian affection. And we need to remember each other in prayer. And in sickness and in distress, we need to cultivate. I've read in your hearing where the Bible said, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Now you think about what kind of a mindset Jesus had. You think about how engaged Jesus was. And so he says, we need to have that kind of a mindset about serving God and about, maintaining our church and our church services. And he said, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. I want to go back over here just for a minute, and I'm almost done. I want to share this with you in the book of Philippians that I just read. Now listen, second chapter. Let this mind be in you which was in Christ. It says that he humbled himself and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And he said, wherefore God exalted him, set him on his right hand, gave him a name that's above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Now, we're living in a society today that more and more people disdain the name of Jesus Christ. They hate him, you know. They don't want to know anything about him. But I'm telling you, the day is coming when every knee is going to bow before God. And every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And he's going to do it to the honor and glory of God the Father. Going to glorify the name of God by confessing that his Son is our Savior, and that his Son came and died to save people from their sins. And he goes on, and then this is said, wherefore, my beloved brethren, as ye have always obeyed, and I want to emphasize that. Now, you may think I'm angry. I'm not angry. I'm not angry. I love this church more than I love anything. This church has meant that much to me down through the years. And I know what you have done. And I want you to do more. I want you to keep doing what you've done and even do more. Because, you know, it's going to take a greater effort than it ever did. It's going to take a greater effort on our part if we're going to, you know, be what God wants us to be. And so he says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Now, this is Paul writing to a church at Philippi, and this wasn't written in reference to Billy Moran. I know that. But you know what? We're serving the same Lord that the Philippian church was serving. And he said, but now, much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, he didn't say figure out your own way to get saved. That's not what he said. You have to have a garden before you can work it out. You can't work out your garden if you don't have one. And you can't work out salvation if you don't have salvation. What he means was, you've been saved, and now go to work for the Lord. That's what he said. And he said, for it is God which worketh in you both the will and the do of his own good pleasure. And he said, listen, do all things without murmuring and complaining. I'll leave that alone. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke. That is, without being rebuked. Do it voluntarily, willingly. Get engaged. Fill your place. Take up your cross and serve the Lord and do it with gladness. Don't begrudge serving God, but do it with gladness, Like the psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. You know, that ought to be our attitude. Every one of us, that should be our attitude. Now he said, that ye may be blameless and harmless as sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Now, I love you. I want you to know that. And again, I want to turn over here to Hebrews and then I'll close. Just got maybe two or three more verses of scripture that I want to share with you. And then I'm going to close. In the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews, he says, let us draw near with a true heart and in full assurance of faith, having our conscience sprinkled from having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Let us consider one another to provoke one another unto love and good works. You might describe my effort this morning as provocative. I've been trying to provoke you to good works, admonishing, encouraging. We've got room to do better, don't we? We've got room to do better. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I believe we're getting closer to the coming of the Lord, don't you? Amen. Yes, sir. I believe the coming of the Lord is at hand. I believe it won't be long till Jesus will descend from heaven. And we'll rise to meet him in the air. All that are prepared and ready. And those that are not are going to be left behind, folks. They need to get saved. And they need to be prepared to serve the Lord. So, I'll close. I love you. I want to stir up your pure minds. I hope that all of us can get involved in the work of the Lord. And that we can be a blessing to each other and a blessing to this church. That we'll see it grow and prosper. We'll see these pews fill up. It can be done. It can be done. If just all the people whose names are on the church book would show up, it'd fill them everyone up. That's all it'd take, you know. But we have a responsibility. I think that's one of the things that as a pastor I'm supposed to do. You say, I don't like it. I don't like it. Sorry, wish you did. Wish you did. But this is important. This is important. You prayerfully consider my sermon today. May God bless you. I love you all. Any comment from anyone, any testimony, any prayer request, anything that needs to be said. Well, thank you for coming. If all minds and hearts are free, we'll stand together. We'll be dismissed in prayer.